Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Nothing electrifying this morning. We're just going to do some Bible teaching today. Praise God. Matthew chapter number 5, and let's just read one verse. Verse number 6, most could quote it. Bible said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Praise God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I conflicted about what to title this, and so really just leaving it up to you. But I want to talk about being blessed. Amen. This morning, I want to be blessed. Amen. Praise God. If you don't want to be blessed, something's probably wrong with you. I want to be blessed. Praise God. I want the favor of God on me. I want the favor of God on my house. Praise God. I desire to be blessed. The Bible said in the book of Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man which walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Amen. If you want to be blessed, don't do those things. But then it didn't stop there. It said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night." That's a good way to be blessed. And then it begins to talk about the blessings of the Lord, and about his leaf shall not wither, and his fruit shall not fall before its time, wither away and such. Amen. Praise God. And then here in the Sermon on the Mount, he begins to talk about several different people that are blessed, and I'm not going to get into all of them here this morning. Amen. And I heard the church breathe, thank God. I just want to talk about the one that hungers and thirst. Blessed. Blessed is the one that does hunger and thirst. Amen. Praise God. Blessed are they. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven, we love you. The Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Amen. One thing that we have preached over and over and taught indefinitely is that context matters, and you cannot just take a verse of Scripture out of context, make doctrine out of it. You can't take Scripture and just fit it to meet whatever you want it to meet. I hesitate to say this, but nevertheless I will. But you've heard certain and different preachers that begin to expound on the Word of God, and they say, you know, this specific word, it means this, 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 and this. It even means this. And they act like it's some kind of multiple choice situation that they get to just choose which one they want to fit their context. So they'll expound on that, and they'll say, you know, but it can also mean this. And I understand all of that, but it's not really that easy to consider and to evaluate or to interpret. You see, there's words even in the English dictionary and in your English language, and sometimes they're used as adverbs, sometimes they're used as verbs. Sometimes they're nouns, and sometimes they're, you know, something else. So you've got to find out which one is the appropriate one. And there are ways to do that. So nevertheless, we want to find out what the context is. And the other day while I was praying this scripture came across my lips, and I took it, I guess, as I've always taken it and such, and just felt the Lord impress upon me a little bit more about it. And so I want to bring that to you here today. And so the first thing that I want to do is I want to say that it is important to establish here right at the beginning about who Jesus is talking to. Because oftentimes we ascribe this verse to sinners. We ascribe it to the unbelievers. And we said, if they will just hunger and thirst after righteousness, then they shall be filled. And then they can experience salvation. But it is important to establish to whom Jesus is speaking to in his Sermon on the Mount here. And so the Bible begins to speak there in verse number 1. He said, seeing the multitudes. And so we have the multitudes. We have a multitude of people, a bunch of people that are there. And they are of all kinds and such. And then it goes on and it said that his disciples came unto him. And so you have a reflection or representation of the religious, but you also have the representation of the outward, the world. And so he is talking to all of them. And the Bible says that he opened his mouth and taught them. And so he's talking to his disciples and he's talking to the multitudes. But in all reality, he's not just talking to them that heard him that day only, but he is talking to all of them that would hear what he said, would read what he said, even until this day and time, because it pertains unto all who are. All who are. And so he spoke to different people. He talked to all that were poor in spirit. Praise God. In verse number 3. Verse number 4, he talked to all those that were mourners. In verse number 5, he talked to all of those that were meek. Verse number 7, he talked to the pure in heart, the peacemakers in verse 8. And then he even spoke to the persecuted in peacemakers in 9. And he talked to the persecuted in verse number 10. But he also spoke to those that were hungry and thirsty in verse number 6. To everybody that was hungry and thirsty. To believers and non-believers, to all. Why? Because all can associate with these properties. Amen. The being of hunger and the being thirsty. Praise God. Amen. And so the prerequisite for being filled, he said that if they would hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. He did not elaborate on this and did not set new prerequisites for that, prequalifications and all of that for that. He did not say if you're educated to a certain degree. He did not say if you've got enough money. He did not say if you're of a certain sect, if you're a Jew or that. He didn't say if you're religious. He didn't say if you've got experience as a saint. He did not say if you have been born again. He just simply said, blessed are they. They. It incorporates, encompasses all. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so the qualification is not their status, but the qualification is not necessarily the appetite, but after righteousness. Praise God. And I would tell you today that the sinner can hunger and thirst after righteousness, but also the saint can hunger and thirst after righteousness just as well. A man can be a sinner in the pig pen just as the prodigal son, but yet if he becomes hungry enough, he can be filled with something better. Praise God. The saint can sit in the church for years and say, I've got 20 years of experience or sitting here in the church, but yet you can still become spiritually dry, spiritually distracted, mechanical, and indifferent.
But the same principle applies to them as well, that if they will hunger and thirst after righteousness, amen, that hunger for righteousness awakens with inside of them, being dormant, sitting upon a pew, being dormant with just fulfilling the laws, being dormant with just fulfilling rules and rituals and traditions, but all of a sudden an innate desire and a hunger from down deep within says, you know what, this just is not enough. This just is not satisfying. It's not quenching. It's not what I'm looking for. As a matter of fact, I'm drying up and I'm withering away, and I'm going to experience some kind of death if something does not change and you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me just say it like this. You're not hungering and thirsting for just a generalization of change, but you got to begin to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he made a promise, and he said, if you will do this, you shall be filled. Let's thank the Lord here today. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. There is something about hunger. And there are principles and there are laws concerning hunger. And one of it is that it remains to be continuous. And all of those with boys from the age of 2 to, amen, 20-something can say amen. Amen. Praise God. It just doesn't seem to ever go away. And I know that there's some females that are like that. Amen. I've met females, amen, that could, praise the Lord, that could put away just about as much as any guy could. And it wasn't because of their size. It was just because that they had that revved up metabolism that was going on. And some of it is because of a family, because of that. But nevertheless, we know that physical hunger is never solved permanently just with one meal. It doesn't matter where you go. You could go to Taco Bell or you could go to Abuelo's. Amen. You could get, amen, cheap tacos, or you could have a more expensive taco. It doesn't matter. You're going to get hungry again. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. You could go, amen, to some low-end steak place, or you could go to the high-end steak place, and you can order steak. You can eat at the finest place. Amen. But it doesn't matter. You are going to get hungry again. And it is the same thing with thirst. Just because that you drink 16 ounces or 32 ounces before 8 o'clock in the morning does not mean that come the afternoon time that thirst is still quenched. Amen. As a matter of fact, you can give it a couple of hours of intense working, whether it is working out, exercising, or just work, and you're going to need some more water. You're going to need something else to quench that thirst. And the same is true spiritually. Salvation is not the end of the spiritual appetite, but rather when you experience salvation, it only awakens that appetite towards God. There ought to be something inside of you that says, I just want more of God. Ought to be something inside of you that even says, I need more of God. It's not just a desire, not just a want, but I've got to have more of God. Praise God. I don't want to jump ahead of myself here right now, but if that's not the case, you're filling yourself up with something else and other than God. Praise God. Amen. Mama would always call and say, it's time to eat. And you would come in and you begin to nitpick at that food. And you say, you know what? I'm not really hungry. She said, where have you been eating? What have you been eating? Amen. Where were you? And what have you been doing? And your hand has been in the cookie jar somewhere else. And amen. You've been to the store somewhere and you bought yourself a Snicker bar because you were hungry. But now it comes time to sit down and to eat the real food, and all of a sudden you're not hungry. If you're not hungry for the things of God, if you're not hungry for the righteousness of God, amen, your hands are in the cookie jar of the world. Somewhere you're filling up the lust of the flesh and the carnal desires of that. Amen. If you're not in the house of God saying, feed me more, I want more, I want more. Amen. You're getting filled up somewhere else. Amen. Because there's a law about it that if you're hungry, amen, you can eat and you shall be filled. Come unto me, all ye who are weary. Praise God. If you're hungry and thirsty, amen, you can be filled. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And the danger for all of us that have lived and been in church for any particular period of time is not just rebellion. You can rebel against the teachings of the Word of God. You can rebel against the teachings of the church. You can rebel against the law and the nature of God. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do those things. But that's rebellion. You can say, well, I just don't see it that way. It doesn't change the Word of God. The Word of God is established. It is forever settled in heaven. And just because government and traditions of this world have changed and have morphed into the accepting of the things that God called an abomination and that God called a sin does not make it right. It's still a sin. If God called it a sin then, it's still a sin to this day. If God hold Peter and Paul and all of the rest of them responsible for something in this word, I'm telling you, he's going to hold you and I responsible for the same things in this word. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to hold, amen, the Bible people to a harder and a higher standard than he's going to hold all of us to. I can't help what the government has accepted. I can't help what this world has made, amen, to become acceptable. Amen, it's still a sin. And an abomination in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord. But rebellion isn't the only way to fill up your innate desire and your hunger. Amen. In the house of God. Praise the Lord. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to go off on the reservation here tonight, amen, this morning. Praise God, but I just feel it, amen. If the songs of God and the songs of the church don't light your fire, amen, you're listening to the wrong songs on the outside of the church. If the songs in the church can't do anything for you and help you and make you feel good, amen, and enable you and cause you to feel the desire to worship God, you're listening to the wrong songs on the outside. Amen. We're not going to play that rap junk in the church. We're not going to play all of the heavy metal stuff in the church. Amen. And if that's what you're filling your ears up on the outside, you're not going to be too excited about the inside. We're not going to play that country western stuff. Amen. That's on the outside of the church. On the inside of the church. And if that's what you're listening to, the things on the house of God are not going to entice you and encourage you to worship. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. That's why we don't have television. Amen. Somebody said, where did all this come from? I don't know. It ain't in my notes. Praise God. But that's why we don't have television. We're not, amen. The eye is the entrance to the heart. And the Bible said that if the eye is full of darkness, then the heart shall be full of darkness. That eye is eating it up and the heart is full. You can't fill yourself with fornication and adultery and ungodliness and incest and all of those other things that you see on television and then come to the house of God and have this great hunger for God. It doesn't work like that. Praise God. You can't watch, amen, Mary running away with, amen, Jane's partner and doing all these other things and lying and cheating, amen, and all of the nakedness and all of that that's presented on that television and then come to the house of God, amen, and have this inordinate desire. I want more of God. I want more of God. I'm going to tell you what happens when more of God is put on the table. Amen, you push away away the chair. I'm not that interested in all of that. I don't want to be that holy. I don't want to be that godly. I don't want to be that religious. Amen. I'm telling us it's time to look into the mirror today and say I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for a change in my life. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You shall be filled. Praise God. Maybe we get off page one, maybe we don't. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of us need to look into the spiritual mirror of God's Word. And don't lie to yourself about what you see. Amen. Evangelizing all around the nation, we got addicted, not just to snacks, but to Hank the Cow Dog. If you don't know who Hank the Cow Dog is, you can come talk to me after church and I'll give you a revelation about who the Hank the Cow Dog was. Audio books, all right? And you got Hank the Cow Dog, who is head of ranch security. And you got Drover, his precious little assistant and sidekick. And there was a story, one of my favorite, talked about the phantom in the mirror. And Hank went into the shed, and he didn't realize it, but he was looking into a mirror. And he looked into a mirror, and he saw a perpetrator, an invader of the ranch, trying to come through trying to come into the ranch through some type of, portal. And he sees that invader, and so he shows him his teeth, and he growls, "You're not welcome here." And the invader showed him his teeth and growled right back. And Hank's hackles bristled up. And he wanted to show him how big and how mean and how manly he was. And the intruder did the same thing. He wasn't scared. He wasn't intimidated. Just right back at him. Hank shirked out of that place with his tail tucked between his tails. And he ran over to his trusty sidekick and minister, Drover. And he told Drover, he said, "Drover, report to duty." He said, "I want you to go into that shed. And there's a portal in there. And I want you to look in there. And I want you to tell me what you see." "Oh no, Hank, please don't. You go in there." He said, "There's a phantom that's trying to get through the portal, and we got to protect the ranch. And you go in there and you look in that portal and you tell me what you see." "Oh please, no, Hank. Please don't make me do that, Hank." And so Drover sneaks into the shed, peeks around the wall and to the portal, jumps back because somebody's there. And he peeks again and pulls back. And he was expecting some vicious vampire with blood dripping off his teeth or something. And he finally pokes his head out around and he sees not a vampire, but something else. And all of a sudden his fear dissipates. Presses out in front of the mirror and he looks at this beautiful intruder and he turns sideways and he goes back out. And Hank, the head of ranch security, says, "Report, Drover. What did you see? Tell me what you saw, Drover." And Drover said it like this: "Oh, Hank, I saw a beautiful, handsome prince." Some of you need to stop lying to yourself about what you see in the spiritual mirror. I went and looked in the mirror not too long ago, and I didn't like what I saw. Say, you know what? It's time to put Fat Boy on a diet. Oh, you can get, I could get in front of the mirror and say, man, I'm looking sharp. And go my way and forget what manner of man that I really am. Yeah, you can lie to yourself. You can look into that spiritual mirror and say, I'm Pentecostal, I'm apostolic, I'm one God, and I'm doing just fine. Praise God. You're not doing just fine if you're living on Twinkies and Ho-Hos and zebra cakes and oatmeal cakes and stuff like that. And I'm talking about spiritually. If you are filling your belly with the husk of this world, you're not doing well. You're going to realize before long that you are spiritually unhealthy. And the doctor, King Jesus, Dr. Jesus is going to tell you, if you don't change, something is going to happen to your body. Amen. You're going to become spiritually, you're going to become a spiritual diabetic. Amen. Praise God. You're going to become spiritually anemic. You're going to become spiritually vitamin deficient. You're going to become spiritually, amen, on a slippery slope to a quick death, spiritual death, if you don't realize and recognize what you're doing to your spiritual body. Praise the Lord. God, help us and help me to get back on my notes here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So physical hunger is never solved permanently with one meal. Amen, but amen. Salvation is not the end of the spiritual appetite, but it ought to be the beginning of it. You ought to, don't tell me, oh, you know what, I've grown old in Jesus and I no longer require having to do all of that. And I'm so spiritual and I'm so perfect and I'm so great that I don't have to do all of the things that everybody else does because I'm mature. Amen. We're not talking about maturity. We're talking about hunger. And there ought to be an innate hunger inside of us that after Sunday night, come Monday and Tuesday, I want more of Jesus. Amen. You can wait till Wednesday night to get more of Jesus, or you can break open your Bible. Oh yeah, you can open your phone and you can look at everything on your phone and you can scroll for endless times. Amen. Through all of that. But what about your Bible? Amen. What about your prayer time? Amen. You ought to be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. There's something wrong with an individual if you can fill your day, amen, with all kinds of things on devices, amen, or other kind of worldly entertainment, but you don't have time to read the Word of God, and you don't have time to pray, amen. We got time for everything else. We got time, amen, for the Twinkies of the world. We got time, amen, for the fudge rounds of the world, but we don't have time for the good things of God. It's time to get back to hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and God is going to fill you. Praise God. I remember growing up in high school, we had this big bad football team. Dominating football team. I think we went 6-5 or 5-6. Probably 5-6. Yeah. But you know what I thought was hilarious? One time I saw the stats of all of our players. Quarterback, 6 foot, 180 pounds. I just about spit my Coke out. Because I knew his diet at lunchtime was a Coke and a bag of chips and a Snicker bar. He may have been 5'10" and he may have weighed 135. Running back. 5'10", 210 pounds. Who are they lying to? He may weigh 125. Praise God. We can't make ourselves out to be bigger and badder spiritually than we are. We really are. Need to recognize, yeah, you know what? I don't have any prayer time. I don't have a prayer life. I'm so far behind in my Bible reading, I just quit and gave up. Come to Tuesday night prayer meeting, but I mean, that's kind of anemic. Wednesday nights, I'm just so tired. Surely you can't expect anything out of me because of that. You need to realize. You need to realize some things. Right offensive lineman. 6'1", 270. I promise you he's every bit of 270. Shove a whole sandwich in his mouth with one bite. Amen. You talk about a bag of chips, he don't go in singularity, he goes in plurals. Bags of chips. He's the one that brought snacks in his backpack. Cody, what do you got in your mouth? Cody is just hoping that we don't make a play that goes over about 3 to 5 yards, because if it is, I'm going to be out of breath. Don't lie to yourself. Don't say you're spiritually doing well if you're not. There's a remedy. All you got to do is hunger and thirst after righteousness. God will change your physique, your spiritual physique. God will change it all. But you got to start hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Praise the Lord. You don't have to just be rebellious, but you can become spiritually dull. Dullness in the routine of passion. Worship without pursuit. How many times have I seen that? I'm going to unbutton my coat because I'm fat, all right? Can't see. Grabs. I'm working on it. Come on now. Everybody's expecting the preacher to spit and slobber and go on like he's rabid. Let me just put it to you pastorally. If I acted like some of you acted in the pulpit, if I acted in the pulpit like some of you acted in the pew, we'd probably have to go change our description and the name of who we are. Praise God. Oh, he's being mean. I'm being truthful. There's something that happens. You know, how many of you today are going to go stand out on the corner somewhere in Wichita with a sign that says, hungry, anything helps, God bless. None of us. You know why? You say, well, I have food. That's partly right. But you know why? Because you're not really hungry. You may feel hungry, but you're not really hungry. But I promise you, if you get really hungry, your pride is going to set second stage somewhere, and you're going to pick up that piece of cardboard, and you'll go stand out there because you are hungry. I'll do anything for some food, whatever it is. If I got to rake your yard or pick up the dog manure, I'll do whatever it is. I don't have any pride at this point. I'm hungry. Bless the are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's something that changes within that individual that they begin to say, I'm not filled with the husk of this world anymore. What have I allowed myself to come to? Amen. I've told everybody I belong to the king up there. I belong to that man up there who is rich. But here I am, amen, in the pig's pen, wallowing around and eating the husk of the pigs and still thinking that I'm somehow a part of all of that. I gotta change. I gotta change. I gotta change. And the Bible said that when he came to himself,
when he came to himself, he climbed out of the pig pen. Praise God. If you decide that you're going to go on a diet, you know what you got to do first of all? Number one, you either got to eat all those snacks that are in your house or you got to throw them in the trash. But ultimately, they got to get gone. That's the truth. They got to get gone. Because if they're not gone, you're going to be on this wonderful diet. And you're going to walk by and you're going to say, oh, one won't hurt. Well, I mean, I paid good money for that 12-pack of Dr. Pepper. I ain't throwing it in trash. I ain't giving it away. Well, that's okay. Your diet ain't going to start until at least they're gone. You know I'm telling you the truth. Because you've had the exact same conversation with you, yourself, your kids, your spouse. Got to get rid of all this. You know, you can say to yourself, you know what, I need to be a better spiritual individual. I need to pray more. I need to fast more. Look. I've only been preaching 30 minutes, all right? We can sit down here right now and we can have an open conversation about diets. And you're going to tell me things that I don't know, and I'm probably going to tell you things that you already know. What I'm saying is there's nobody here that does not know, maybe Henry, that doesn't know what dieting is all about. We're trying to fatten up, Henry. So when you're getting rid of all your snacks, oh, we could talk about keto. We could talk about Mediterranean. We can talk about all kinds of diets. They're all good if you stick to them. But if you don't, I don't care what you call it. Nothing's changed. Praise the Lord. Amen or oh me. Still the same. Yeah, you can purpose tomorrow. Vicky Wine and sang that song. Tomorrow. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Come on, eat all I can today. Because tomorrow, I'm going to be fatter anyway. You know, and then you get to tomorrow, and somebody says, oh, I thought you said you're going to start your diet today. I said, no, I said I'm going to start it tomorrow. It's like that popular chain restaurant, Joe's Crab Shack. There's free crab tomorrow. Oh, boy, I'm going tomorrow. You go to tomorrow, you know, and say, where's that free crab? Say, oh, it's tomorrow. You go back the next day, it's tomorrow. It's not today. You can put it off, and you can keep putting it off. And you know what is going to happen?
Nothing. You don't be Vicky Winans. I won't be fatter anyway. Yeah, you can spiritually make all of these resolutions, New Year's resolutions and such. But if something does not change, you aren't going to change. Amen. You may have to delete Facebook off your phone. Or you may have to delete some other type of social media off your phone. You may have to get rid of video games. You may have to get rid of music. You may have to get rid of, you fill in the blank. I don't have to worry about going to the store, walking down the candy aisle, and seeing a sign that says 3 for 1 on the Milky Ways, and feel this sudden desire. Oh, I gotta have 6. You know why? I don't like Milky Ways. Somebody else may. That's why I'm saying you got to figure out you. You got to figure out your passion, your desire. And, you know, eating a Milky Way isn't sinful. It may be a stumbling block. I mean, if you're on keto and decide to eat it, you throw yourself out of ketosis and you got to get yourself back in and such, but that's not going to kill you. But it may end your diet, your resolution. So what I'm saying is you need to be honest with yourself and get things out of your life so that you can hunger and thirst for God correctly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, y'all pray for me so I will change. Oh, we will. We'll pray that you change. Somewhere or another, I got to do it myself. You understand what I'm talking about. The Bible says it like that the soul of the sluggard desires, but has nothing. It's got to become more than just a desire. Somewhere or another, you're going to have to initiate. You're going to have to do it. And when you do it, praise God, you'll begin to see a change about it. Praise God. You can join the YMCA, but if you don't go, it ain't going to do you any good. Hey, that's me. I'm going to change. I'm going into the YMCA, and I'm going to get me membership. Things are going to change. So I get myself a membership, and I get my wife a membership because we're going to change. I go the next day. My wife can't go because she's keeping kids. So I go the next day. I may go 2 or 3 days in a row. I can't tell you the last time I went. Oh, my wife says she hasn't even gone. I'm simply saying that at some point in time in life, it doesn't matter who you are, you can set all this stuff. You know what? I'm going to be used of God. Until you change, it ain't going to happen. There's got to be something on the inside that says, I'm through. I'm tired. But if you're filling up on the outside, it's not going to happen on the inside. But if you get to that place that you're truly hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and you're not just saying, I've been in church 20 years, amen, but you're saying, you know what, I've been in this church 20 years, but I still have to have more of God. I still got to have something about thee, amen, something from God today. And you begin to lay aside worldly passions and all of these other things, and you're not just banking on traditions, amen, and you're not just relying, amen, upon an experience, a membership, amen, or a family heritage, but you're saying, I've got to have it for myself. Don't blame everybody else. Don't blame somebody else why you can't get the victory or why you can't have deliverance. Amen, it comes down to still one and only. It's me. I'm the one. If something's going to change, I've got to start the change. I've got to initiate it. I've got to get some things out of my life, and I've got to become what God would have me to be. Let's stand and love the Lord here today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. As a young teenager seeking after God, there was a hunger that was there. Just like every teenage boy wanted to sleep as long as you could possibly sleep. School always invades what I want. Got to get up. Got to get dressed and go to school. Got to leave the house by 7:40. That means my alarm clock's going to be set at 7:20. Basically got clothes and stuff lined out that you can just jump out of bed and just kind of step in and just keep going. There was a hunger. 5 o'clock in the morning, my alarm would go off. Precious sleep. It's so easy just to hit it and go right back to sleep. But I was hungry for something. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd roll out of bed, find a place to pray in my room, begin to seek after God. Some point in time, I'd go back to sleep until 7:20. The next day, that alarm would go off at 5 a.m. I get back out of bed. Come home in the afternoon. Throw aside the backpack and everything else. Tell my mom, headed to the church. I didn't have a car. Church was, I don't know, maybe a mile down the road or so. I'd take out. Run, walk, run to the church. Go into the sanctuary. Pray. Hunger. Hunger. There have been times in my life that hunger has come back like a rabid dog. Gotta do whatever I gotta do. Push away the plate. 3 days. 5 days. I gotta have something from God. My wife and I, something's got to change. Started praying. Went on a 5-day fast. End of 5 days, we sat down to eat. I don't know if we had started eating yet or not, but the phone rang. It wasn't God on the other line, it was my pastor. He asked me to make a major decision. We went right back on a fast. had to hear from God. I needed God. If you can't spiritually be that person standing out in front of God with a cardboard sign that says, "Hungry, I'll do anything, God. Just feed me." Thirsty is probably not going to happen. But if there's something inside of you that says, "You know what, I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of walking and not getting anywhere. I feel like I'm face to face with the wall and trying to walk through it. It's not happening." "God, I'm bound by so many things. I just can't seem to get deliverance." You have to get to that place. "God, I'm hungry. I'm hungry." And there's little setbacks that offer themselves and make themselves available here and there. I'm not trying to lighten the mood here this morning, but there's a gym. I don't remember what it's called. The purple one. Planet Fitness. Cookies on Friday. No, I'm serious. I don't know if all of them do it, but there's a bunch of them that do it. Congratulations for being here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I wasn't here Monday through Thursday. I just came for a cookie. Yeah, go to the gym, get in shape, and we give you cookies. Now, that's the last thing you need. And your quest for more of God has those little things in the road. Why is it that every time you say, "Going on a 3-day fast," you don't even have to say 3 days. "Bless God, I'm fasting today." You walk in the office and they got a dozen donuts sitting there. "Oh, just bought donuts for everybody. Help yourself. Come on, get a donut." You know, or the boss comes in and says, "Hey, I'll take you out for lunch. Where do you want to go?" And you tell yourself, "I'll fast tomorrow." It's always something. And sometimes it's not just a dozen donuts or boss wanting to take you out to eat. It's just something bad happens. That's the type of creatures that we are. We're stress eaters. Stress comes into our life and "I thought you were dieting." I was. Stress, worry, depression. All those, it don't have to be a donut. Doesn't have to be anything like it. Just little things. Little things. What do you mean you can't eat a donut? What do you mean you don't want to go out and eat today? I'm buying. Somewhere you have to get to that place. I'm tired. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of being where I am. I've got to have the peace of God. I didn't get off of page one today, all right? I don't think I'm preaching it tonight. So let me just add this in. The Bible said in Romans 14 and 17 that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
but it's righteousness.
I'm hungry.
I'm thirsty. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's when you feel fulfilled. That's when you're the most fulfilled. Number one, you've got to have the righteousness of God. God, search me. Help me to cleanse out and to clean out all of these other distracting things. Get rid of all of the proverbial snacks. God, to get rid of all of this, I got to focus upon you. I got to have your righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but your righteousness. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He goes on to say, he said, for in it is the righteousness of God declared, revealed. For the just shall live faith to faith. Righteousness of God. It's not self-righteousness. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's the righteousness of God. And it's the power of God unto salvation. And so we allow these things to begin to work. You got to get the righteousness of God. And when you get the righteousness of God, that's when peace can come in. Peace doesn't come before righteousness. It doesn't happen. Take it into context. And they were arguing about what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. Dietary laws. Well, we're not supposed to eat this. Well, yeah, we can. We can eat that now. Well, no, you can't. Yes, you can. They were conflicting each other. Paul said, it's not about that. And until you get that out of your craw and get that out of your mind, get that out of your spirit, until you get the righteousness of God, there'll be no peace. But when you have peace, it's not the peace that passes understanding. You already have that. It's the peace that you have in life among your brothers. That's where they were conflicting. They were conflicting one with another. You have peace. And when that peace comes in, it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. When joy leaves, picking, nitpicking, critiquing, and fighting starts happening. Peace disappears. Peace disappears. Righteousness follows thereafter. It comes in a certain order. It'll disappear in a certain order. Amen. Somewhere or another, there has to be that place within inside of us, said God, I want more of you. Somewhere or another in the church, it has to happen. God, we want to see the harvest. I cannot be satisfied with just coming to church. I can't be satisfied with just having good church. I want to have effective church, the favor of God upon us, the blessings of God, baptistry being used, altars being filled. It's got to become more than just words. It's got to become action. Praise God. Amen. You hungry? I'm not talking about lunch. I'm talking about for righteousness. The things of God. Hungry for righteousness. Maybe you're passive. I'm opening up the altars today. Maybe you're passive and say, oh, you know what? I'm good. I want to look in the mirror of God's word. Say, you know what? I'm passive, but it ain't correct. I'm filling my life with all the things of this world.